Welcome to the Hatmakers Podcast, where we chat with hatmakers across the world. We hear stories about their hatmaking journey, have in-depth conversations about their origin story, as well as learn new tips to help you elevate your hatmaking game. I'm your host, Bam Bam, and this is Beyond the Brim. On today's episode, I speak to Ryan from Troubadour Customs in Austin, Texas. We chat about his hat-making journey and how it all started for him, what his inspirations are. He shows us around the amazing retail slash workspace that he's created to build a community of like-minded artists. I'm excited about this one. Let's go. Yeah, man. Yeah, it's good. We're on. This is the first one. First chat with you, Ryan.
Yeah, right on, man.
How's... You're still in the shop. You still got the people in the background there.
Yeah, still people here. I had a little gathering this evening, and it's kind of turned into a little social club, which I don't hate.
Mate, it's funny because I think you were one of the very first people that I sort of connected with right back 2020, and it was just through the Instagram sort of communication and stuff like that, but. I think from memory, that was pretty much when you were starting out your hat journey too.
Pretty much around then, yeah. I mean, I kind of went through this rough self-teaching process in 2019 and wouldn't say I was putting a good hat together until 2020. But yeah, probably did. It really just started a passion project for me. I was working in management consulting and had always been more of a creative and just needed to like kind of pump that muscle. And yeah. So started making them for fun and was literally just giving them away.
Yeah. Just out of curiosity, I mean, was it always something in the back of your mind? Was it always going to be hats, or was it kind of like, was it something that you
stumbled on? Honestly, it was like an exploration process. Like I grew up drawing a lot. I picked up music as a teenager. And you know, when I decided I wanted to do something tactile, I started blowing glass and throwing clay and like messed around with little carpentry, and I knew it was going to be something with my hands. I went and had a hat made at a rodeo hatter, and it was like a vintage hat that was hanging on the wall around 2017, and asked if I could watch him do it, and then I was just absolutely fascinated. So yeah, I took it home, kind of put my own little spin on it. And then when I moved to Austin, everyone's like, oh shit, where'd you get that? So yeah. Like, oh, well, I can do that. I can do that to your sets and give it to you. And gotcha. After a few, I'm like, maybe I just learned how to make them from scratch. And this will be like my creative outlet.
Yeah. Well, I mean, being from Austin, Texas now, like you, pretty much everyone wearing a hat there, right? So it's kind of like you're submerged in it by default.
It's naturally just so deeply embedded in the culture of like, yeah, Texas, people wear hats, but Austin's also like a creative, very creative city, very music driven city, which, you know, only adds to that. So yeah, I would say it's very easily that, everybody at least owns one, you know?
Yeah. Austin, I was fortunate to go there a few years back for South by Southwest and experience that side of things. And it's got the hustle and bustle, and it's got the tech, and it's got the sort of the spittoons out of town a little bit, and rattlesnakes and shotguns and stuff. It's cool. It's very cool.
Yeah, man. I mean, South by is amazing. I'm always super grateful for that period. We actually just got through that last month.
Oh,
Sydney has South by now, right?
Yeah, we picked it up. Yeah, this is the first year that it landed here. It was okay. It's kind of funny because the city, the nightlife in Sydney, it's always been sort of been peaking, and then it dropped off a lot. Obviously, with COVID and stuff, a lot of venues closed. So I think it's in the process of now sort of just rebuilding as a entertainment hotspot again. But tons of creative people around here and stuff. But people tend to venture overseas to sort of pursue that sort of passion, I guess, just because of limited options, you know.
Very cool, man.
Yeah, but I mean, so obviously being a creative, working with your hands a lot, you've experienced this opportunity with someone making a hat. You jumped into it. had people like me reach out at the same time too. Do you still find people reaching out to you, and do you find yourself at a level now where you've got the experience of people coming to you for knowledge?
Specifically because I went and made one hat with a group out of Utah to just learn how to sew the sweatbands in.
Yep.
And everything else I just learned through trial and error.
Yep.
And I will always tell people, like, I'm glad to point you in the right direction because I had zero help. And, you know, as I train people now that work with me, they're like, if you make a mistake, no big deal. I made all of them at least twice.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things, like, if someone truly has a desire to learn something, and, like, and you know how much manual labor is in this, and, like, the learning curve is not easy, and the likelihood you're going to burn or cut yourself or poke yourself is incredibly high. Like,
yeah.
if you truly have the desire, I'm glad to share what I know and help you out if you have a passion for it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny. I mean, obviously just it's kind of feels like a short-lived sort of journey so far, 4 years, but a lot has happened in that time for me personally. It's kind of it's a funny world with the hatters industry, because there's people who hold on to information, there's other people who are very open and helping, and it's kind of like 8 billion people in the world. I don't see the competition. It's not.
I've said the same thing a million times. Like, I've made friends with other hatters in town. I'm like, 8 billion heads in the world, I think we're all going to eat, guys. Like, it's going to be okay.
Good.
And, like, everybody brings their own little flavor and, like style and appreciation to, you know, what they see in other people and themselves. And, like, you know, people connect to their artists for different reasons. And
for sure.
Like, there's plenty of painters in the world, too. People are still buying paintings. So it's like, we're all okay.
Yeah. And, I mean, going down that path of, like, creating, connecting with other people. Tell me a little bit about what Trovador is. Like, from my perspective, it's a very rock inspired kind of style. Would that be sort of the flavor that you go with?
Yeah, I mean, that's naturally like where I lie, just because, you know, I grew up and played in the metal band and just like things that are more edgy. Like, that's just who I am. But, you know, Trovador is troubadour in Spanish. So, like, singer, songwriter, storyteller. So my intention was, like, naming the whole brand was around telling aspects of people's stories through symbolism into the hat.
Yeah.
And so, you know, not to knock anybody else that's done any other thing, I didn't want to name this after myself because I didn't want it to be about me. I wanted it to be about other people and elevating other people.
Yep.
And, you know, helping them feel connected to both themselves and what they're wearing.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that line that you say, that everyone's has a story, and so, you know, wear yours with vigor. You know, it's kind of like once you have something custom made and personal, it's kind of like rock that shit, you know, because it's your
100%,
story.
100%,
yeah. Share, you know what I mean? Yeah, it's,
yeah, it's hard to go back to driving a Ford after you've had a Ferrari.
it's so true, and, you know, when I first connected with Jack, like the very first episode of this Hat Makers podcast, that was the first time I'd ever really told my story behind how it all came about. And I never even used to wear a hat. It was always, you know, baseball caps and stuff like that. So it's
right.
It's sort of just learning that whole different element of style and finding what works for you. But you're right, when you have something that's custom made, it doesn't even compete with anything else.
Exactly, man.
So the Troubadour store that you've got now, you launched it, you moved from, where were you previously?
I started just very humbly out of my house. I was working in my, like, literally working in my kitchen, and opened a store up. It really just started as like a pop-up during South by Southwest in 22. And there was a space available on what's, you know, South Congress, very retail oriented area, a lot, just tons of foot traffic and kind of a tourist destination in the city, and opened it up for, you know, just South by. I'm like, all right, let's see if this works. And first month went beautifully. So I'm like, okay, let's do it again. Okay, let's do it again. And after almost 2 years, I just realized I needed significantly more space and wanted to, you know, create more aspects of what I'm doing to be able to, you know, more people to be able to share it.
Yeah.
And hosting parties and, you know, various, you know, things that, you know, kind of create culture around the brand. So yep. Moved to the East Side, which is really known as like the artist community in Austin.
Yeah.
And, you know, moved there back in November, and it's been, you know, just a beautiful next chapter.
Yeah. Dude, I can see it in the background. It looks epic. You know, I feel like outdone massively because this is my little work studio. But like,
don't compare your story to somebody else's story. That's not fair to yourself.
That's true.
I look at other people that are where I want to be in 5 years. And it's remembering that, like, oh, yeah, they've got a lot of time on me. So it's like, you can't have a comparison there, right? Like,
totally.
You're a surfer. You're, I mean, you're in Bondi, right? So you got to assume you're a surfer, right? So, like, you're seeing waves come in. And, like, some guy caught a wave over there. And, like, don't compare your wave to his wave. Like, you got another wave coming, man.
Mate, it's true, and I have to humbly confess that I live directly across from the beach, and I don't surf as much as I possibly should. So it's kind of
there's that's no the thing about living at the beach, man. You get spoiled. Like I lived in Southern California for a while, and I was like, oh yeah, there's a beach. I see that thing every day. Whatever.
Oh man, it's so true. Like, blessed to be where you are, and so I think that's the. That's the importance of sort of being able to go outside and experience that stuff like that, because you know. I'm not sure. I mean, you could probably tell me, but I spend a lot of time in the studio, and it's kind of just like that, the hamster wheel sort of groundhog day as it is. You know, it's important to go a step.
Very true.
Where do you go? Sorry.
Oh, I was like, man, you need to create an outside studio. Just make cats look at the ocean.
Man. I thought about it too. It's definitely, I've tried it before. It's hard with the wind and stuff, especially with the sewing and stuff like that. That's more so what I play around with. But
sewing, yeah. I mean, dude, you're honestly, the stitch work you do, honestly, has inspired me. I remember we were talking one time.
Yeah.
And I was complimenting you on that. You're like, you can do anything, mate. And like, I never really thought to even attempt to embroider something until you told me that. Then someone asked me if I could do like a marijuana leaf. And went for it. I was like, holy shit, I can do that.
Yeah.
Just like, you just gotta go, like, just like anything else within that thing.
I don't think there's any other way, you know, because that's a common question that people sort of ask. It's a sort of like, how'd you get into this? How'd you fall into making hats? And I was like, man, I don't know. I've never made anything before in my life, and I can't draw. So it's strange for me to be able to pick up a needle and thread that I found and apply and express that.
Yeah.
But like, even when I remember chatting to you, it's like, yeah, man, just go for it. Just pick it up, etch it on the side, do whatever you got to do, have a little template. And if it looks shit, then that's your perspective of what it looks like.
It's just cut it off, steam it out, start it over. Yeah.
It's like, I think there's many times that I've actually had to cut off and restart. And some of the best ones that I did were the ones that looked like they were fucked up. It was actually turned out to be amazing. Yeah.
Some of the most, I would say, unique things that I have come up with, I came up with to kind of cover up my fuck ups, like you know, dyeing them and doing, you know, different patterns and stuff. I'm like, oh, I just over sanded the shit out of that, so now I'm gonna do. But it's like,
so
being afraid to fuck up, honestly.
Yeah. And I think that's where people sort of gravitate to your style, you know. I mean, like, it's kind of, you know, I'm trying to go down the path of specializing in hand embroidery, shaping and styling. It's all an experiment. With your style too, just like burning and dyeing, are they new sort of elements that you're introducing to your hats? Because that Eclipse one that you did is incredible.
Oh, thanks, man. Yeah, this one I, you know, kind of is inspired by like Native Americans putting their hands on horses, and I was like, oh, I've never seen hands on a hat before, and it's like, it's kind of like telling the story, like me as the maker, my hands on it, so it's all things that represent a bigger concept.
Yeah, I remember seeing the video or the story of you doing that. It was kind of like, fucking here we go.
I mean, I had charcoal, like powdered charcoal in my hands and a white hat. I'm like, all right, you literally get one shot at this, man.
Yeah. So the Troubadour store there, do you have a setup, like a workspace area and slash obviously retail space, because there's people in the background sort of walking
around?
Yeah,
I mean, I could disconnect the phone and like give you guys a little tour if you want, or...
Yeah, man. Yeah, like, if you want to, yeah.
All right, cool. Let's see. So I've partnered actually with an amazing photographer that we've combined this into an art gallery.
Yeah.
And so the essential thing is like, you kind of walk in through a parking lot. I created like a little area for pop-ups to be here. Then you have a bar that we'll utilize for events, which it has on the side. And then there's like a nice lounge area, kind of hat display wall, which is a furry wall. Then there's open workshop area back here, kind of like little barber chair. Got some of my buddies hanging out here. And then, then, you know, all the fun zone. But then little mural wall going on. So there's just like different things happening as you're walking through the shop that gives you a very experiential kind of concept rather than... Yeah, I don't know. I've just I got to make it my own. It's like 100-year-old building that was redone. And just kind of fell in love with it. Exposed beam, concrete floors, just like you know something that just when you connect with it, it feels like you. Like,
yeah.
So yeah, that's what it's kind of become.
So it must have been. I mean, it was obviously a exciting sort of big step from going out from the bedroom / kitchen to sort of jumping into a big workspace like that. Was that always on the cards for you, or do you think it was kind of out of necessity?
Yeah, I just feel like it was the essential next step. Like, I don't know what your experience was, but especially during COVID, I had people reaching out from all over the country, and the Instagram orders of the world were so much more prevalent, and I started to notice a shift after things started opening back up. And I was like, okay, like I've made enough hats. Like, I think it's time to like really put yourself out in the world and an opportunity to kind of like plant your flag. Like, you know, every great brand has a flagship store. And, you know, I see hatters that do, you know, 4 or 5, and I'm like, good for you. Like, I don't know that I want that. It's gnarly.
Yeah.
But essentially, at least just having the one is because that was just the next progressive step for me in the business.
Was that a? I mean, it sounds like it was obviously it was a progressive step, but was that a big sort of risk for you? Like, it was kind of like, fuck, this is really happening. Like, now I'm full time.
Oh yeah.
I'm really like, committed now.
Like full pucker, yeah. I mean, like exactly being out on South Congress, which is some of the most expensive real estate in the country. Like,
wow,
same as New York and you know some other major cities here. And the pressure of it, I was always hesitant because that the pressure kind of kills passion.
Yeah,
and but it also inspired me in a different way to like create in a new environment. Part of it kind of helped me legitimize myself in my own head that, okay, I'm not just making them in my kitchen anymore. Other people take me more seriously now. And it's definitely helped me grow in my art form as well.
Yeah. Because I mean, even just looking around, like you've got so much inspiration, you're connecting with other artists, the photography on the wall, the furry wall, you know, there's even just the people strolling past and there's activity going around. So I find that's something that's really amazing about where I live here in Bondi, is that the community of people, there's always some sort of buzz. And as an artist, as a creative, I think that if you really need to harness that and tap into it as much as you possibly can. when people reach out to you, do you find that it's a interaction through social media? Is it kind of through your website? Is it just organic word of mouth stuff?
The word of mouth thing has honestly been the most impactful for me here. It's like, Austin's also funny. It's, you know, it has the culture of an international city, but it still very much feels like a small town in that.
That's cool.
You know, circles get really small really fast. I think through, you know, like, you know, definitely invested in the website and SEO and the business aspect that has allowed me bigger opportunities with, like, you know, creating, you know, getting to have those 20 hat days are really nice. You know, when the big parties come through.
That's such a powerful tool, hey? Like, a lot. I mean, having the ability to have created something for somebody and then them obviously they can see it. It's a big statement piece of wearing on top of their dome, but they kind of tell them about it. They share their story and then it loops back to you. So there's always that connection there with somebody else.
Absolutely, man. And honestly, like, having a space as well, it's like, you know, people, like, everyone, like, you naturally, you want to invest in your online space to have, you know, excellent photography. And, you know, I've even moved away from that a little bit, using more just cameras and reels and, you know, mostly just because that's where social media is making us go. But having a space where people can come in and see it and touch it, and it just resonates in a different way.
Totally. Totally, man. Do you have a big team working with you?
I have one apprentice that turned into a co-maker, who's now considered him the shop manager, and have a few other store salespeople that just kind of help when needed.
Yep.
But you know, the world of this is, it's like I'm either throwing parties or, you know, we have some busy weekends, and it's nice. The weeks are a little bit more dispersed and less, you know, operate more so on an appointment basis, which allows me some flexibility. But during the week, you kind of just, like, settle back in and, like, have that time to be creative. And, like, that's the sweet spot. Like, you know, when everybody's gone, like, it reminds me of being back in the kitchen. I'm like, I can just, like, just be free, like, just kind of create again, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I must imagine, because that's kind of how I feel too. When you're in the zone, you're in the zone. You know, you can just step out. You know, it's easy when you're in your bedroom, go to the kitchen, get your coffee, whatever you got to do. But once you start, I can imagine, once you have a functional workspace that also doubles as a retail space, you have to go from sale mode to work mode on and off.
Half the days I can't get anything done. Just because, you know, you're constantly, you know, communicating and engaging with people, and, like, everyone that comes in matters just as much to the other, right? And as the business is kind of evolving, it's like I'm being spread thin in so many different ways that I don't get to spend nearly as much time doing the things that.
Yeah.
And so, like, I realize you have to be very specific about, like, where you give your energy and your focus, and be very intentional about blocking time for yourself so that you can still tap into those things.
So, and is that a skill that you've learned just over the, you know, like, a short amount of time, like time management, making sure that you actually are tapping into those creative juices when they're flowing?
I mean, it's like, it's funny you mention that, because, like, sometimes, like, you know, when you're inspired and you feel creative, like, you're in flow state, like, you have to kind of force yourself into that sometimes. You don't always feel creative, but, you know, you have orders to fill.
Yeah.
Realizing that, like, not everything you do is going to be, like, your best piece. And I used to put that pressure to myself that, like, everyone has to be better than the last one. And, you know, that's not realistic. And, you know, I wouldn't call it, like, a skill set. I definitely haven't mastered it yet, but I'm doing my best when I can, just kind of plug and play.
Yeah. So I mean, it's a skill that I think always requires practice. You know, like I'm the same boat. Sometimes I'll go from stitching a butterfly to a smiley face to like I'm working on a tiger right now. I'm just like, fuck, where's this? It's just kind of just the rotation of things to think about. And you're right. I mean, I don't have an influx of people coming knocking on the door and sort of doing that retail sort of sales space, but you're definitely right. It's about just drawing inspiration from where you are and just taking time off.
Absolutely, man. And like, honestly, what you're doing is so unique and creative and like far past what anybody else is doing with embroidery and the true art of the space. Like you'll never not have that desire from people that have gotten to know your brand just because, you know, I don't know anybody else that has the patience to be willing to do that after having embroidered stuff myself. I'm like, I don't have 3 hours worth of anything in me, you know? So
yeah, it's funny, man. It's funny. It's maybe that's the OCD in me sort of kicking in. Like maybe those I've just harnessed that ability to be stubborn and just sit with it. You know, like
I mean, it's a necessary trait to do embroidery for sure.
Oh man, it is. But you know, the other side is there's limited tools. You know, that there's, I mean, I should say limited. There's not a lot of tools that you need. You know, I can. The blocking of the hat, the sanding of the hat, for me in my space, I don't require a lot of real estate.
You can use all the tools in the world, and you can have the fancy brim press or brim plates, and you know, spend all the money. But I like to think that those who can do more with less just might be a little bit more equipped to. You know, handle anything because, yeah, all those tools are nice, but you don't necessarily really need them.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you know, I find that when I think about the early starting of making hats, I tell people that I made a hat with a soup bowl in it and a kettle in the kitchen, and people are like, righto.
Yeah. All right, cool. Yeah.
Well, yeah, it was a big salad bowl, and it was just like just making do with what you got. And I think, you know, chatting to other people, other hat makers and stuff, even other creatives, that everyone has that origin story of starting with nothing and just making it work from there, leaning into
right.
it.
I mean, it definitely makes it more interesting rather than being a fifth generation hatter, you know.
Yeah, right. Because again, you know, from my perspective and chatting to some hat makers, they have a very, very interesting take on how it should be. Things are this way. You know, you have to use this thing, otherwise it's not correct. Ironing
right.
with it, or using a steamer and all that sort of shit. Like it's just, have you found that same thing?
I mean, there's a million different ways to do anything, right? And you can. You can arrive from a different path, but you know, I think I was a little bit more fortunate in some ways that I wasn't classically trained, so you didn't learn, you know, that you just had to do something because that's the way somebody else has always done it.
Yeah,
which forces you to, you know, pick up your own techniques, but also make a lot more mistakes along the way. So just like anything else, you know, learning curves, learning the hard way may have been easier to learn, you know, being properly trained, but it also makes it more versatile.
Yeah, totally. And then obviously the byproduct of all that is that you create your own style and your own flavor and your own steez. It's kind of unique to you.
Exactly, brother.
With your current business setup now, do you mostly work with a lot of customs, or is it, do you sort of venture, do you work and create a lot of ready-to-wear hats available for people?
Yeah, you see a bunch of them stacked over there. We have just started doing some, I think with Twist, there's opportunity in different ways to be able to capture some of the market with that. Not everybody wants to invest in the company.
Yes.
Having that experiential thing, especially if people want to book parties and they want to get them shaped on site. I've kind of just come through this process where I'm getting out of my own way, where I wanted to be like, no, I'm just an artist. Like, these hats are omakase. This is a Subway. I'm not just going to, you know, shape and slap some shit on there and call it a custom hat. No, it's not what we do. But there's elements that as a business can evolve where you can be both, where you don't have to, you know, let your ego get in front of you so that you create more opportunities for yourself down the road.
Yeah. And touching on the events side of things, is that are you holding a lot of sort of walk-in sort of scenarios where people are able to come down and sort of try on hats, or is it kind of like an event space that you've implemented, and then the hat making is just an element of that event that you're playing?
I mean, I'm trying to squeeze, you know, create as many tentacles of this as possible, and so I have made this both, you know, art studio event space that is available to rent. People can rent it out for, you know, private parties. And I'm, like I said, I'm oriented towards less of that shape and design on site. But, you know, given the right group, we can make that work. You know, it's just different. Like, we're not buying Stetsons and slapping stuff on there, you know. So, like, you understand the time and energy investment into just having these made. So it's like, where do you want to focus your time? Because there's only so much of it.
And I guess, I mean, it just depends on what sort of events are doing stuff. Is that where the Electric Crown Society has sort of evolved into?
So Electric Crown Society, actually, I've started a membership concept around this.
Yeah.
Like, which has it, you know, memberships are, like, everyone's kind of starting that now within businesses to create, you know, either subscription-based things or, you know, more connectivity. And I mainly thought...
Shut up, assholes.
mainly thought that, like, okay, all my customers are pretty rad people. Why don't I create a reason to bring all these people together?
Yeah.
And then offer benefits within, like, different tier levels of the membership so that it's like anything that you create that's bigger than the product is going to have a more long-lasting resonance in people's mind.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, it's not what you do, it's not what you said, it's the way you make somebody feel. Terrible place to have a podcast. They got people in here, dog barking. Come on!
Who's that little guy?
It's my little French bulldog. He's,
Guard dog.
Yeah. Yeah. Just tough. But I mean, he's been the best store mascot ever. Like, the number of people I've met just because I came in, I in the old shop on Congress, I had a jar sitting on the shelf that said just came in to pet the dog, and it was like a tip jar. And I was shocked how much money would be in there sometimes. So I was like, it was a joke. But just like, Still having fun with it, even though, like, as a business evolves, it, you know, becomes stressful in different ways. But it's like remembering why you started is one of the most important things.
So who, just with the Electric Crown Society, who is your kind of target market? Who do you focus on? Is it
guys? I really can't hear.
With the Electric Crown Society, who's your target audience? Is that a separate side of your business where you're creating, like you're trying to onboard people into introducing them to your memberships? Is it an organic sort of process that you sort of speak with people currently?
It's a couple of different ones, right? And so because this is more event driven, you know, creating culture, you know, have a level where people can just come to the events.
Yep.
And it's more about socializing, then have another level where there's discounts on hats, and then another level where, you know, you get things, you know, various things included, discounts on renting the shop. And so it depends on, you know, what the person's after, but mainly the need to, creating new opportunities for exposure.
Yeah, right. And so with these events that you're essentially hosting, is it, are you collaborating with other brands to sort of to try and tap into different audiences and sort of bleed over through there and sort of cross-pollinate your both brands?
Yeah, I mean, like doing other artists, featuring other artists, other upcoming brands, alcohol brands.
Yep.
And doing things that are closely relevant to Austin, you know, which is, you know, food, music, you know, a little bit of film. Something that's like, you look at what South By does and do that on a smaller scale. So it's just kind of a cultural focal point.
Any major milestones you've hit so far with some big brands you've worked with in the past that you've really sort of like, fuck, that's fucking pretty dope?
You know, the brand partnership thing has not been a major focus for me yet.
Yeah.
You know, working with other people I admire been really cool. Other, you know, say musicians that I've got to connect. Like, the best part of all this is like the people I've been so grateful to meet along the way.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, as it continues to evolve and having the opportunity to work with other cool brands, like, yeah, super, super stoked, looking forward to that.
Yeah. I think looking at a business and trying to think outside the square and trying to really sort of grow and sort of scale it to a point, I think it's a really powerful way to be able to do it, you know, like working with like-minded people, tapping into something that they're interested in, crossing over audiences. I mean, it's beneficial for everybody, and it sounds like, you know, there's a lot going on in your space.
Definitely, man. And like, you know, in that same vein of like me starting in my kitchen and like not having a platform, I wanted to, you know, utilize this space to help, you know, other people have that platform.
Yeah.
So like constantly hosting, you know, pop-ups and markets with other makers and, you know, just things of that essence.
Do you have a lot of people reach out to you and sort of try and jump on that train and try and just get involved from the outside?
Yeah. It's kind of reached a level now that it feels weird that you know, people are seeing me in a light that they want to be a part of it, which, you know, at the same time I'm grateful. So it's a lot of, you know, just person to person connection too, of like, you know, somebody that knows the gal that handles my marketing, or you know, friend of a friend that creates cool bomber jackets. Like, it's anything that feels like it's within the right essence of the same demographic of customer, like, absolutely, let's go for it.
Yeah. And you made some hats for some pretty famous people. I've seen I saw the Lainey Wilson one recently.
I mean, yeah, man, Lainey is just one of the sweetest people I've ever met. And honestly, I lived in Los Angeles for most of my 20s, and you'd see people around. But when Billy, you know, I also tell you, I grew up a musician. Then Billy Gibbons walked into the shop, I was like, oh man, be cool. That's Billy Gibbons, you know. But really, really cool meeting that guy, man. He's as memorable and as authentic as it comes. So
yeah. I just I was fortunate enough to make a hat for Lainey here myself just recently.
No kidding.
Yeah. Sick, yeah. Man. It was actually I think it was pretty much when you posted that picture, I was like, fuck, I mean, I can't believe like how much we're kind of on the same sort of similar path of time wise and what we do. And that was just a real interesting synchronicity. But
very cool.
Yeah, I made one for her, and she actually wore it on stage. And I woke up in the morning and it was just kind of like, what the fuck? I had a couple of messages and then saw her, because I went to her show just the night before.
Oh, epic, man.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. Pretty cool to see.
Love it, brother. And it's like, yeah, it feels good that, honestly, that anybody is buying your hats, right? That people appreciate what you're making out of nothing.
Yes.
And so it's like, yeah, that there's a perception of, you know, that being a validation when a celebrity is wearing your hat. But at the same time, you know, it's nice to be appreciated. So,
yeah. Yeah. And at the end of the day, I mean, they're just people too, right? So if you can cross over and tell their story, it's just another person to work with, really.
100%, man.
Another thing that you got that's pretty close to you, just obviously just doing just some research, is the Customs for Cause thing. Is that a personal sort of element that you've sort of really sort of focused on?
Yeah, you know, when I first got started, I'd walked into a restaurant and I saw like a very frail bald gal wearing a hat, and I don't know if she was, you know, going through chemo or not, but that's like a light switch went off, and like I was like, wow, that's how I make this more than a vanity project. Mm. And naturally wanted to be like a purpose driven brand, so
yeah.
I was fortunate to partner with Texas Oncology, and they now nominate people to come in and get donated custom hats, like
wow.
Locks for Love, but with hats. And so it's like a way of, you know, just giving back to people who, you know, you don't expect anything from in return. And it's like, you know, they give you the biggest hugs. It's like, it's just like, you can tell you're making a difference in somebody's life. So it's just like, it's the warm and fuzzies, you know?
That's the ultimate reward right there, right? Is being able to create something for someone that they really appreciate, and it's I don't think anything really compares.
Yeah, and definitely as they're going through like one of the hardest moments of their life, you know.
Yeah,
it's like, yeah, you're making an impact there.
Yeah, man, that's awesome. I saw that and I was like, man, it's such an amazing thing to be part of, and it's, you know, I was like, man, fuck yeah, that's. Much props to this guy to get involved in that. You know, it's really cool.
I appreciate it, man. And it's like, you know, starting something like that is not easy, and it's very sensitive.
Yeah, yeah.
There's been parts of me that is considered like, why don't I open this up to like the entire hack community? And like, we make this a bigger thing where we like all do it within like our given communities that like we can like serve other people that I don't know if you will be down for it or not, but it's just like, I think a positive thing you can do in the world, you know?
Totally, man. Totally. Well, hey, if anything, like we've just said before, like when we started, just got to do it, you know, just got to lean into it and take that step. And I'm sure, I mean, there'll be listeners on here, other hat makers who would love to be involved. So, you know, who knows if it's something that gets off the ground.
Cool. Well,
globally, or what, you know, just outside helping you spread that message. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if anybody wants to talk, hit me up.
Yeah. Why not? What's next for you, man? What's on the cards? What's in the future? What does Troubadour look like in 3 to 5?
3 to 5. I mean, I fully dream of having a another location in a mountain town.
Yeah, close in Texas too.
Probably somewhere a little farther west, Rockies. Then additionally, you know, starting to create ancillary lines in probably more of the clothing world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that a way for you to scale?
Just diversify. And, you know, I didn't name it Troubadour Hats on purpose. I named it Troubadour knowing that like it wasn't always just going to stay hats.
Yeah. Cool. So clothing, t-shirts. I mean,
more than t-shirts, like, yeah. Leather jackets, boots. Yeah. Yeah, the whole thing.
Nice, man. Look, I think it's great to connect with you. It's really awesome to put a face and a voice to the end of the Instagram communication.
I really
appreciate the time, man. If there's something that you wanted to add, it's like a message to any hat makers starting out, or if there's something you'd like to just sort of shared in your world that was like a really big point that sort of made a difference for you, what would that be?
you know, you've asked incredibly thoughtful questions, and you know, you've kind of guided this conversation in a way that you've kind of helped me tell my story. So overall, like my message to other people just getting started, or like no matter where you are in your process, it's just like, don't be afraid to suck at something new. And it's like, it's definitely hard. Like everybody's having trouble getting inventory right now. And it's just like, there's nothing easy about this business, but it's like when you lead with passion and you know, you have the right intentions behind anything, you're going to succeed. So yeah. Just keep going, man.
Keep it moving.
That's right.
Mate, on that note, you just gave me goosebumps. It's kind of made me want to jump in and start keep it moving and go to the next level, man. I really appreciate the time, Ryan. It's a real pleasure to connect with you, and I look forward to watching the path, watching the growth, and being part of any way that I possibly can, man.
Dude, appreciate you, man.
You got it.
All right, brother.
Peace out, brother. See you soon.
How are we going, man?
Bye-bye. See you. Bye.